Hello and welcome to Telling Tinder Tales, a podcast where people confess their interesting dating stories with me, Chris O'Neill.
And me, Thomasin Lockwood. Today we'll be joined by two guests. Each will tell their dating story, each will answer to our questions.
Coming up on today's show.
Maybe I have low standards, I don't know, but that worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this was a gift for my performance, I guess. I was like, what does it mean? So where do I sit on the scale?
Has he moved on to a career in the diplomatic service?
No, I think it would be a very short-lived one.
Thomasin, how's your week been and what have you been up to?
Yeah, it's been good, thank you. Welcome everyone to Telling Tinder Tales. I'm going to France tomorrow, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to go visit my friend. The only trouble is she has not seen me since I had my breakup with my long-term partner. And I know she's going to tell me to get on the apps and to just move on. And I don't know. The apps don't seem like a great way to go, especially after, but then after all these stories that we've heard in Telling Tinder Tales, many of them, especially the ones that end in tragedy, Chris, are ones that you just find in real life. So I'm like, I don't know what the options are to find a good date. And it feels honestly like it's getting worse. That's how my week's going, quite frankly. But I don't know, like, has it always been this way with dating? Like, what was it like when you were younger? Like, what was dating like for you? Has it always been this much of a chaotic world?
Well, I come from an era when nobody had computers and you had landlines. So I suppose I'll put it in context how I met my wife. I was feeling a bit fed up one evening, a bit depressed. It was all grand. I went out for a cup of coffee and I sat down in a local coffee shop, which didn't have much room. And it was a basement, however, with a spiral staircase. And I sat down on the ground floor. Lady came in with a broken arm. Turned out to be a broken wrist, in a cast. Picked up a tray, loaded up a cup of coffee and a scone and was trying to go down the spiral staircase and realised that that's not a plan when you've got a broken wrist. So I suggested she just sit down beside me. It was grand. So she sat down. Turned out she was in town because she was an industrial relations dispute. She was dealing with a grievance procedure, in fact. That woman ended up as my wife. I suppose I still get into trouble over the fact that at the wedding, I said that our marriage was the product of depression, accident, and grievance. So you always get into trouble for these things, but she still reminds me of that all these. How many years later? 37 years later. Yeah,
wow.
37 years later. I'm married longer than you're alive. Anyway, that's
beautiful. Well, maybe, so, yeah. Maybe though that was a trick. Maybe rather than trying to avoid the depression, the accidents, the chaos, maybe actually I need to lean harder into it and actually that's where I find a husband.
Well, if you're specifically looking for a husband, if that's the objective, I suppose, yeah. Yeah, as distinct from someone you might like.
Yeah. Or should I just, like, I don't know, maybe I'll do the whole, like, wearing a sling thing and looking helpless with a tray of coffee and a scone.
Yeah. It could work. I don't know. Give it a try. Let me know. If it does work, you can come back and tell us all about it. That's a great thing. It's content, if nothing else.
I know. That's it. Yeah, that's what my life has come to, Chris. Content. Now, speaking of which, we have a really exciting show today. We have two wonderful guests joining us for their own tales of woe and love. And congratulations, by the way, to 36 years married, Chris. Before we move over to our guests, any parting advice for the longevity of a relationship?
No. Okay. I don't know how I did it. I don't know how she put up with me, to be perfectly honest. I wouldn't have put up with me for that long. I think that's it.
I don't know. I admire the gumption of a woman who, with one hand with a tray of coffee and one hand in a sling, she's trying to go down a spiral staircase anyway. Like, that is that is a perseverance that I admire.
It's one of the many reasons I admire her.
Oh, this is lovely. Well, let's ruin that, shall we? And let's say hello to our guests. We are joined by Michael and Helly. Say hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, it's really great to have you here. We'll start with our first tale with Helly. Please do tell us where you're calling in from today. And when you're ready, let's hear your story.
Yeah, hi everyone. So I am based in Brussels, but I'm an original Estonian. So very happy to be here. And I guess my story, maybe you could call it an example of how love maybe conquers all. So when I first moved to Brussels, Belgium, I was working in a museum. I was still a university student working in a museum. And so it was a really fun place, you know, with a lot of young people. And at some point, I got a quite big crush on a colleague of mine. And he was sort of this very fun guy, always cracking jokes, probably a big charm as well, why I was attracted to him. So one day we were starting the morning at work, and we would always have this gathering where they would tell us where everybody would be standing in the museum during that day, all that stuff. Mm. And I remember he was standing with another colleague having a coffee, and I just went up to them. And the thing is, well, so I was a very awkward person. Like when I fell in love, I really fell in love. It was like a very, very, was not a good flirter or anything. And so I went up to them and just having a chat, probably said something extremely silly, and he cracked a joke at that. I don't remember what he said, but I remember saying to him, "Oh, you are really full of yourself, aren't you?" To which he replied, "Well, you could be full of me too."
Oh.
And we were together for 12 years after that.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know, maybe I have low standards, I don't know, but he was, but that worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, I'm learning so much today about long-standing relationships. You gotta get them when you're depressed and they're physically vulnerable. You gotta when they're sexually exactly. suggestive without knowing you fully well and your colleagues, then that's you're in, baby.
Well, we were quite good friends. Like we were good colleagues and good friends, and so obviously I wouldn't have let anyone else get away with it. But I think the funny bit is like when we're not together anymore, unfortunately. It took me 12 years to understand how outrageous that line was, clearly. but when we were still together, and you know, you'd meet people and they'd be like, how did you guys meet? So whenever we would tell that story, it was always the same thing. You would have girls who were just outrageous, you know, shocked, and the guys would be like high-fiving him like, yeah.
Yeah,
always the same. So yeah, but I thought it was a cute story.
Yeah, that one really does split it, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, I'll give it over to our resident male. Chris, did you have any feedback or questions about that?
It strikes me you either get lucky or get slapped for that particular line. I have a question for you. Do you know if he had ever used that line before?
No, he was... let's put it this way. A lot of the stuff that came out of his mouth, he did not really think it through very well in advance. So no, he was a very hilarious guy. I mean, he still is. So it really wasn't like a line. It just, you know, it just came out spontaneously.
Very good. And what part of the world was he from, as a matter of interest?
So he's half French, half Pakistani, but he lived in US for a while. So he was a big mix as well.
And so 12 years, that's a heck of a stretch.
It was beautiful 12 years, and I got a heck of a story out of it. So.
You did indeed.
That was a great answer. Well done, Haley. I have another question. Do we, what kind of museum was it?
So it was actually in Brussels, you have this European Parliament's visitor center. It was very, a very, very modern one. And we were actually the very first generation, so to speak, to work there, because I worked there when it had just opened. And it was, yeah, full of sort of, you know, young people who'd come to Brussels, dreams of ending up in one of the institutions. And a lot of the dreams were crushed in that museum.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of stories. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Great. And Michael, did you have any questions for Haley?
Firstly, I would definitely high five that man. that's quite brass neck to come out with something like that. You say that he just like doesn't think his thoughts the whole way through. Do you have any other sort of examples of just putting his foot in his mouth that you can think of?
Yeah. he is an adorable human being. But I remember one which was, yes, so I love to write. So I write short stories. I try to write a novel. I remember this one time, I was a little bit, I don't know even why, but basically I was doubting, you know, how it is. So I remember asking him, I was like, do you really think, you know, I could become a writer? You know, do I have what it takes? And he was like, oh, of course, honey. You could absolutely be a writer. Like, look at what some of the shit that is being published these days.
Wow.
And like, I just kind of like didn't say anything. I just looked at him like really for a few moments of like, seeing like how it dawned on him what he had just said, and he's like, no, that's not what I mean. Yeah, it was just so sincere, you know.
Hilarious. That's great.
Has he moved on to a career in the diplomatic service?
No, I think it would be a very short-lived one.
Very indie. Okay, so well, Helly, thank you very much for that. I think, Michael, it's about time we heard from you, and what's your story, and please fill us in on where you're joining us from. Thank you.
So I'm coming to you from Gosport, which is in the south coast of Hampshire. And my crazy dating life has been about a five-month period of my life, a series of dates where I just met some of the craziest people that I've ever met in my life. I had one lady tell me that she had cured autism in her son through spiritual healing. Another lady who spoke to dead people, that was what she did for a living. Then people kept giving me presents. I've never bought a Roman candle in my life. I had 7 Roman candles and the first 3 books in the Harry Potter series. They just went through a period where people would just turn up with things, which was great. And then I'd met my wife. We met through a friend, and I'm in the Royal Navy. So we sort of started dating. We went on our first date to a search and rescue dinner. I got money from a motorbike crash and decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go off to Vegas for Christmas, because just after Christmas, I deployed for 6 months. We had been properly dating 12 weeks at that point. I took my naval uniform with me. We got married in Las Vegas, wow, Nevada, on Christmas Day. And she got really annoyed, actually, because when we were leaving the hotel, the Americans loved the military. So she was ignored and I got rounds of applause. So it didn't. It was bad. Like, it was not the best way to start out your wedding. But then, yeah, we got married. We got married there, and we've been blissfully married for 16 years.
I would ask you one thing. The candles, have you ever used any of them?
I do use them. You know, when I first started using candles, and I will light one pretty much every day to this day, is when I had kids, because babies fart and it stinks. So I started using the candles to cover off the fact that my children would be sitting on my knee just letting rip. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. So I still use candles now.
I feel there's a whole marketing potential that the candle companies have not leaned into. We may have made a marketing discovery here, and you may indeed have a fortune to be made in a particular brand of candle that would cover the stink. I mean, I'm sure we can come up with a good name. Yeah, that's interesting. Thomason, have you any questions for this long married man?
Well, I have to say that candle answer was not where I thought it was going. Did you say you got gifted Harry Potter books?
Yeah, first 3 books of the Harry Potter series. It was totally bizarre. And a kite. That was weird.
A kite? Did you fly the kite?
I did fly the kite. It was a really nice kite. And it was kind of strange, because it was the morning after the night before. And as I was leaving, she was like, do you want a kite? And then that prompted a conversation between me and my friends over a beer about what does that, like, if 10's you're really good at sex and 1 of you isn't, what does the kite represent number wise for how the, you know, this is, so this was a gift for my performance, I guess. I was like, what does it mean? So where do I sit on the scale? And we roundly decided that a kite means that I'm a solid 4.
Okay. very high. Well, I mean, I don't know, to part with a kite, I'd say that's at least a six, but you know.
It's very, very kind of you.
My kite metrics. Okay, so, oh God, I can't imagine being a bride and being like, this is my special day. And then suddenly, like, people are giving a round of applause to the groom. Like, yeah, it's your day too, but like, that must have been rough. But my question is, did you like officially propose? Were you both like drunk and like, rah, should we do it? Like, what happened?
Well, so we got drunk. She proposed to me. I said no because she was drunk. She then proposed to me again when she was sober. And I said yes. And then I did propose to her, but I knew she was going to say yes because we'd already been married for 2 years at that point. I'd bought an engagement ring, took her out to dinner, and then got down on one knee in a restaurant and proposed to her so that she could have that moment.
Sweet. Before I go to Helly, I have one question to ask you. When you say this woman gave you a kite, right? I have this idea. Yeah. Were there a stack of kites waiting to be given out, or was it just a single kite?
It was just a single kite. It was by the door. I suppose it was awkward. And as the door opened, she just went, "Do you want a kite?" And I didn't know how to say anything. I just went, okay. I took the kite with me. And I thought it was really weird.
Helly, have you anything to add to this mother baffling situation?
The one thought that occurs to me is like, I'm clearly dating wrong people or something, because I've never received any gifts. I'd really like to. I just get like really weird lines. Do you mind? Can I tell you like one of the worst things that I was ever told on a date?
Go ahead.
So, because I'm Estonian, I very, very often hear this one comment, which is that, oh, you're Estonian, you must not be cold. You know, if I tell people that I'm cold, they're always like, oh, but you're Estonian, ha ha ha. Yeah, I mean, we still have same bodily functions, so we do get cold. But basically, I was on a date, and it was a very nice guy. He was very polite. It was going well. And so he asked me, he was like, oh, you're Estonian, so you must never be cold. I was like, haha, yeah, very funny. And then he follows it up and asks me, do you people have like an extra layer of fat that makes you not feel cold?
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, yeah, we're actually descendants of the seal, you know. Yeah.
I was gonna say, have you crossbred with seals or whales or something?
I just would have been like, yeah, what's your layer of fat for?
No, but the thing is, he's like, you know, he does like the Iron Man and that kind of stuff, so that wouldn't have worked on him at all.
No, it would have though, because if he's doing Iron Man, he's gonna be like, that's gonna destroy him. Do you know what I mean?
But I did want to say, just like, actually really funny coincidence, because I have also been to a wedding in Vegas as a guest. Did you have like a Elvis impersonator, Michael?
No, we had the white James Brown. He's the most over-exuberant priest I've ever met in my life. Him and his wife are on our wedding certificate as the witnesses, because we eloped to do that.
Just think, if white James Brown can find a wife, why can't I find a husband? This is getting ridiculous, guys. Michael, so tell me more about Vegas. Like, I just want to hear more, because it does seem like a whole other world. Like, how's the rest of the trip?
It was awesome. You know, the night of our wedding, we went to the underground of the Excalibur Hotel, where you had to vote for your country's horse, and it was jousting right in front of you. We just circled around jousting, and they set me in France, and I pointedly refused to cheer for anybody other than Ireland, A lot of people in the France section, because Americans are fairly patriotic, they got annoyed about that. And I was like, I'm from Belfast. And then they stopped being annoyed, oddly. They were, oh, okay. And just left me alone. And I went into one of the most original restaurants that I've ever been in. And like, I'm a stand-up comedian, so my banter's pretty good. But they insult you. So we were queued to go in. I didn't know anything about it. It's called Dick's Last Resort. And the lady just comes up to me really rudely and goes, what do you want? And I was like looking at her going, a table? And she had one of those billfolds in her hand. She turned around and threw it across the restaurant and went, old people, pay your bill.
What?
And I was like, what? This is wild. And they just give you abuse the whole way through it. The food was delicious. The beer was great. But the insults were brutal. The staff asked me to leave because they couldn't take the banter. They said either put on an apron and get behind a bar or go away. I was like, okay.
I just have one other question, Michael. I just thought under me. You said that you got your money and you went to Vegas specifically because you were about to go to sea for 6 months.
That is exactly what happened, yes.
So am I right in thinking that you went to Vegas, got married, came home and left your wife for 6 months?
Wow.
Yeah. And I went round the Far East for 6 months having a grand old time.
Wow.
And did she fly out and meet you anywhere or anything like that?
Yes, she flew out to Singapore. So we spent 2 weeks in Singapore, which is one of the loveliest, nicest countries I've ever been in.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I was glad I got that right. Okay. So yeah, fair enough. Well, Michael, congratulations. And everybody loves a sailor and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
So I wonder... Thomason, have you anything to add to this general milieu of tales?
I guess if we're looking at the moral of the story today, it might be act unconventional on your dates. And I actually think I'm pretty nice on a date. I'm pretty friendly. I'm pretty cool, except for the first ever date I went on. So I'm 17. I was a bit of a late bloomer, basically. I was like kind of a geek, but this for sixth form, this new guy moved to our school and he inexplicably asked me on a date, and I was so excited because I really, really did like him. So obviously as teenagers, you don't have any money. So our date was like going for a walk in the park, but it was really lovely. It was really romantic and like we were getting on really well. We were laughing and talking, but I was so, so nervous. And at one point, he touched the small of my back, as I might write in a lover's romantic novel, which is like my lower back. He put his hand there. And I got this wave of electricity through my body. I did not know what to do with it. I was just like, feelings. What do I do with these feelings? And we were walking past this giant bush. And I went, bush, bush. I pushed him into the bush. So, and he fell right in as well, because he wasn't expecting it. I guess he got up and we carried on with the date. He was my first boyfriend for a bit, but I never lived it down and I got known as like Bush Push around my school for a bit. So.
Excellent. That's a worrying story. Nickname Bush Push. Yes. Excellent. We're not even going to go there.
I mean, you'd rather that be the story behind Bush Push than...
You would.
The initial first thought.
Yes. I know. I'm relieved. Well, I suppose it's we're going to have to wrap up here now. I'd like to thank Kelly and Michael for their stories. They've been fascinating. Odd there's a Vegas connection, but both of you. But anyway, so that was interesting in itself. We have a motto that nobody leaves needing therapy that didn't arrive needing therapy. I think we've achieved that tonight. Nobody looks like they've been permanently scarred or damaged. Thomason, have you anything to add to this before we say goodbye?
Yes, Chris, a great motto indeed. If you've gotten to the end of this podcast, thank you again so much for listening. Please do give us a review and give us a follow as a newer podcast with a growing audience. It really does make a difference to us. So please do give us 5 stars. And if you want to give us less than that, then you can fuck off to Vegas. Fly away in a kite. I don't know. But thank you again so much to Michael and Helly for joining us. Helly, do you have anything to plug, to let the audience know about?
So I'm on the socials as Helly Barna. If you're doubting how that's written, it's Helly as in helicopter. Easier to remember. And I run Funny Women Brussels shows twice per month in Brussels, obviously. So if you are around, please do come to one of our shows. Or if you are a comedian looking to perform in Belgium, also get in touch. And we are always happy to have traveling comedians around here. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Excellent. And Michael?
Yeah, so I'm on the socials as Irish the Comedian, if anybody wants to go and see my stuff. And soon is going to be 2 separate videos of me doing a bush push on my wife, which got me the most hits on Facebook. Same bush, 2 years apart in Liverpool outside the hotel. And she was drunk, so getting out of the bush was Neil. So I'm right there with you. I'm 47 and doing stuff like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. And you've been wonderful. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Telling Tinder Tales is hosted and produced by me, Chris O'Neill, and Thomason Lockwood. Produced and edited by Lucy Regan, with music by Kinkas Morera. It's a Jester's Comedy Dublin production and is no way affiliated with or endorsed by Tinder. If you have a story to tell, please get in touch. Details are in the show notes. And if you like us, instead of swiping right, follow us on Instagram and or TikTok at Telling Tinder Tales.